problem that has been built up. And there is no way other than the one he's doing, because it's the last gasp of how to take away from the mass of the people the ability to borrow. I mean, let's be honest. If you put a tariff, you make everything coming in from abroad more expensive. That means people will buy less of it. They'll shrink their standard of living. If American companies take advantage of the tariff, which they always do, by raising their prices, that will also hurt the working class. You are immiserating your workers in order to try to solve the problem you haven't solved before. But here's the irony that may in the end come back to haunt us. Europe has been unable to unify under the umbrella of American alliances. The enmity of the United States is bringing Europe together better than the alliance was able to do. And as you pointed out, very important, China, Japan, and South Korea, with long histories of animosity and tension, are getting together to cope with this. Wow, we are unifying the whole world. If you want the big picture in my judgment, after World War II, George Kennan taught us about containment. We're going to contain the Soviet Union. The irony, which the philosopher Hegel would enjoy, we are becoming contained. We are isolating ourselves. The votes in the UN are the United States alone, or the United States and Israel and two or three other countries. The isolation politically, the isolation now economically, we are the rogue nation for the rest of the world. We may not want it, we may not agree, but it doesn't really matter if that's how they perceive us, and that's what's happening.
You talked about South Korea, Japan, and China joining together. One of the biggest announcements of tax cuts was against Taiwan. It's just a little more complicated for Taiwan to join that group.
And also another one was Vietnam, which got a very heavy whack. I mean, is there no recognition of what the United States did to that country? Maybe you wouldn't want to crush them with this kind of a thing. As I'm saying, this is a change. This is a sign to the world that as the United States empire declines, this is a nasty place that's going to, you know, gesture and thrash around doing damage everywhere as it copes with its own decline.
Former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis recently wrote a piece headlined Donald Trump's Economic Master Plan. He wrote, quote, "This is what his critics don't understand. They mistakenly think he thinks that his tariffs will reduce America's trade deficit on their own. He knows they won't. Their utility comes from their capacity to shock foreign central bankers into reducing domestic interest rates. Consequently, the euro, the yen, and the renminbi will soften relative to the dollar. This will cancel out the price hikes of goods imported into the U.S. and leave the prices American consumers pay unaffected. The tariff countries will be, in effect, paying for Trump's tariffs." Do you agree with that, Professor Wolf?
No, even though Yanis and I do a lot of work together, so normally I defer to him. He's wonderful in his analysis. I don't think this is correct. Is it a possible outcome? Yes. You know, we're in a situation, let me put it this way. Tariffs are not new. They've been around for hundreds of years. If you teach a course in international economics, which I've done, you tell students, here are 1,000 books, here are 5,000 articles. We know. And the answer is, when you impose a tariff, you don't know what the outcome is because it depends on everything else going on. Interest rates, exchange rates of currencies, rising or falling economies around the world. You can't know in advance. It's a very risky thing, which is why for the last 50 years, we have had, administered by the U.S., something called free trade or neoliberal or globalization. All of that is over now. The United States can't win anymore in that system, so it is reverting to economic nationalism. And that's a fundamental shift that throws the world. It was the accepted wisdom for 50 years, the last 50 years, not to do what Mr. Trump is doing now. If you want, you can think that everybody who thought that way for 50 years was wrong, and Mr. Trump, the genius, is correct. But that would be a long shot. Better bet, He's trying to save his own political life, and he's trying to cope, to his credit, with a declining economy without having to admit that that's the case. This won't end well. It normally doesn't. And what we're going to see is the fighting against one another of the Europe bloc, the Asian bloc, the American bloc, at a time when the United States is weaker than it has been economically and politically. Look at the debacle in the Ukraine as well. The misunderstanding that the Russians could turn to the Chinese and the Indians to cope with the costs of that war in a way that hadn't been calculated, and is turning out to shape the outcome. And it's not a question of which side you're on, but just watching how it lines up. That's the problem.
30 seconds. As you often talk about, are you seeing this as the beginning of the end of American empire?
Yes. I think we are already in 10, 12 years of that decline. It can't. Here's a single best statistic. If you add up the GDP, you know, the total output of goods and services in a year for a country, of the United States and its major allies, the G7, it's about 28% of global output. If you do the same thing for China and the BRICS, it's about 35%. They're already a bigger block of economic power than we are. Every country in the world thinking about building a railroad or expanding its health program, they used to send their people to Washington or London to get help. They still do. But when they're done, they send the same team to Beijing, New Delhi, Sao Paulo, and they often get a better deal. The world is changing. And the United States could cope. As with alcoholism, you have to admit you have a problem before you're in a position to solve it. We have a nation that does not yet want to face what this all adds up to.
Richard Wolff, Professor Emeritus of Economics, University of Massachusetts Amherst, visiting professor at the Graduate Program in International Affairs at the New School here in New York, founder of Democracy at Work, hosts weekly national TV radio program called Economic Update. Among his books, Understanding Capitalism. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Amy.
This is Democracy Now! When we come back from break, an update on a story we've been following closely. Jewish students at Columbia University chain themselves to the university gates. Stay with us. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Here in New York City, Jewish students chained themselves to gates at Columbia University Wednesday in support of Mahmoud Khalil, the former Columbia student protest leader, now in an ICE jail in Louisiana. On March 8th, federal agents detained Khalil at his university-owned apartment building, even though he's a legal permanent resident of the United States. They revoked his green card. I went up to Columbia yesterday and spoke to some of the students at the protest.
Now, release Mahmoud Khalil now.
We want justice, you say how?
We want justice, you say how?
My name is Carly. I'm a Columbia SEPA graduate student, second year, and I'm chained to this gate today as a Jewish student and friend of Mahmoud Khalil's, demanding answers on how his name got to DHS and which trustee specifically handed over that information. We believe that there is a high chance that our new president, Claire Shipman, handed over that information, and we as Jewish students demand transparency in that process.
What makes you think that the new president, Shipman, gave over his information?
information.
There was a Forward article with that leak. And there has not been transparency from the Columbia administration to Jewish students when they claim that they are doing all of this to protect Jewish students. We would like to be consulted in that process instead of being spoken for, you know, as Jewish students, and to the Jewish people at large, being political pawns in a game is not a new occurrence. And that's something that we very much so are here to say, hey, you cannot weaponize anti-Semitism to harm our friends and peers.
And talk about being chained, and are you willing to risk arrest or suspension or expulsion from Columbia?
Yeah, I mean, just for speaking out for Palestine on Columbia's campus, you know that you are risking arrest and expulsion. That is the precedence they have sent, and that is something that we all know at this point. I mean, we are now in a situation where, for many of us, our good friend is in ICE detention, and as Jewish students, we feel we need to do more.
How did you know Mahmoud Khalil? You said you're at SIPA. What are you studying there?
Yeah, so I'm a human rights student, and we were classmates. We were classmates and friends, and it's been a deeply troubling few weeks, and, you know, everyone at SIPA, the students at SIPA, we really are just hoping for his safe return, and for me as a graduate in May, I truly hope we get to walk together at graduation.
Did he hear that you were out here, and did he send you a message?
Yes. So it has gotten back to Mahmoud that Jewish students are out here chained to the gate, and he did send a message that I read earlier that expressed his gratitude.
Can you tell me what he said?
Yes, I can pull up the message. I don't want to misquote him. Okay. The news of students chaining themselves to the Columbia gates has reached Mahmoud in the detention center in Louisiana, where he's currently being held. He knows what's happening. He was very emotional when he heard about it, and he wanted to thank you all and let you know he sees you.
My name is Sarah Boris. I am a senior at Barnard College.
Why a Jewish action right now?
So the government, when they abducted Mahmoud, they literally put, Donald Trump put out a post that said, Shalom Mahmoud. They are saying that this is the name of Jewish safety. But there is a reason that it is for white Jews that were on that fence, or that were on that gate. And that's because we are not the ones that are being targeted by the government. It is Muslim students, Arab students, Palestinian students, immigrant students that are being targeted.
How do you respond to those who say the protests here are anti-Semitic?
I have been involved in these protests for my last 2 years here. This, the community of Jewish students that I have found is one of the most wonderful in my life. To call these protests anti-Semitic honestly degrades the Jewish religion by making it about a nation state instead of the actual religion itself.
My name is Shay. I'm a junior at Columbia College. I am here for the same reason.
You're wearing a keffiyeh and a yarmulke.
Yes. That's standard for me.
Are you willing to be expelled?
If the university decides that that is what should happen to me for doing this, then that is on them. I would love to not be expelled, but I think that my peers would also have loved to not be expelled. I think Mahmoud would love to not be in detention right now. This is, I obviously worked very hard to get here. So did Mahmoud. So did everyone else who has been facing consequences. And to, like, while I obviously would prefer to, you know, not get expelled, this is bigger than me. This is about something much more important. And it ultimately is in the hands of the university. If they want to expel me for standing up for my friend, for other students, then that is their choice.
ICE off our campus now!
ICE off our campus now!
We want justice, you say how?
We want justice, you say how?
Answer our demands now!
Answer our demands now!
My name is Miriam Alwan. I'm a senior at Columbia. I'm also Palestinian, and I'm friends with Mahmoud. I'm here in solidarity with my Jewish friends, who are in solidarity with all Palestinian students and Palestinians facing genocide in Gaza. We are all here today because we miss our friend, and it's inconceivable to us that the Board of Trustees are reported to have handed his name over to the federal government And the fact that these Board of Trustees have now taken over the university. Just yesterday, the University Senate at Columbia released an over 300-page report called the Sundial Report, which reveals that the Board of Trustees has completely endangered both Palestinian and anti-Zionist Jewish students in the name of quashing dissent and cracking down on protests like never before, eroding shared governance, academic freedom. And so this has been a long-standing process of over 1.5 years to get us to the point where we are today, where people are getting kidnapped from their own campuses. And we can't just sit by and let the federal government do whatever they want to our own university without standing up against it. So whatever we can do.
And what does it mean to you that it's Jewish students who have chained themselves to the gates?
It means a lot to me, especially because of all of the rhetoric that surrounds these protests, saying that we're violent or threatening, when from day one, I was part of Students for Justice in Palestine when it was suspended, and we were working alongside Jewish Voice for Peace from day one, and the media just completely twisted the narrative. So the fact that my Jewish friends are still to this day fighting, no matter what the personal cost is to them, I've seen the way that the university has delegitimized their Jewish identity, put them through trials saying that they're anti-Semitic when they are proud Jews, and they've taught me so much about Judaism. So it just means a lot to see like the solidarity between us even almost 2 years later now.
My name's Aharon Dardik. I'm a junior here at Columbia, and we're here to protest the trustees putting students in danger and not taking accountability.
Why the chains on your wrists?
We, as Jewish students, chained ourselves earlier today to a gate on campus, and we said that we weren't going to leave until the university named who it was amongst the trustees who collaborated with the fascist Trump administration to detain our classmate, Mahmoud Khalil, and try and deport him.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from California, but my family moved to Israel-Palestine.
I think that's like a much later part.
And being from Israel-Palestine, your thoughts on what's happening there?
There's never a justification for killing innocent civilians and for war crimes and genocide that's being committed now. And I know many, many other people there who are leftist Israeli activists who are doing their best to end the occupation, to end the war and the genocide, and to end Israeli apartheid, but they need more support from the international community, which currently sees supporting Israel as synonymous with supporting the fascist Israeli government that's perpetrating this genocide, that's continuing the occupation.
Voices from a protest Wednesday when Jewish students at Columbia University chained themselves to university gates in support of Mahmoud Khalil, the former Columbia student protest leader, now detained by ICE in a Louisiana jail. Students continued their action into the early hours of this morning through the rain, even after Columbia security and New York police arrived on the scene to cut the chains and forcibly remove protesters. Special thanks to Laura Bastillas. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. As we turn now to look at how a family of four, a mother and three children, were detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in a raid not far from the home of Trump's border czar, Tom Homan. The raid took place last Thursday at the North Harbor Dairy, near the town of Sackett's Harbor, New York, a small town with a population of about 1,300. It's in upstate New York, in western New York. In total, seven people were detained, including the mother and her three kids, who were enrolled in the local public school, a third grader, a 10th grader, and an 11th grader. Witnesses say they were all handcuffed before being removed from a home at the dairy farm and put in a van. ICE has confirmed they were then taken to a recently reopened family detention center in Texas. This is Jennifer Gaffney, the superintendent of Sackett's Harbor Central School District.
As part of the process of detaining the person for whom the warrant was issued, we had three students who got caught up in that mess and subsequently taken and detained. We are all very, very, very well connected with our students who are missing. And these students are friends, they're classmates, they're good students, and they're part of the fabric of our community, and we want them back in our classrooms.
The superintendent was interviewed by local ABC upstate. ICE agents said the mother and children were collateral arrests and that the raid on the dairy farm was related to a warrant to arrest of a South African man allegedly dealing in child pornography. This Saturday, community members are holding a rally starting at the town's Welcome Center, marching to the home of Trump border czar Tom Homan, who's a native of the area. He spoke to the local news station WWNY and said he was looking into the raid and the possibility the family could be released and returned to Sackett's Harbor.
This was not, you know, it wasn't a raid. It was a search warrant execution in a house where a family was found and who entered the country illegally. They're under DACA control. So ICE is doing everything by the book. Border Patrol did everything by the book. And once the investigation gets to the place where we no longer have an interest in this family, then the decision will be made on release. So as far as Sackett's Harbor, I grew up, as you know, in West Carthage, not too far from your family. I love the North Country. I want to retire in the North Country. It's unfortunate that this it brings undue necessary attention to a small town that I love, small town that I'd like to retire in.
For more, we're joined by Murad Awada, the president of the New York Immigration Coalition, helping residents as they call for ICE to release this family. Murad, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you explain what happened to this family of four, almost next-door neighbors to Holman, the third grader, the two high school kids and their mom were handcuffed and taken away?
Well, first, thank you for having me. It's really unfortunate to see this family who, in the dark of morning, were snatched from their beds, arrested, and then detained, and then disappeared. Similarly, we've been seeing this happen across the country, but even more so appalling that ICE figured that it was important that they arrest these children and their mother, which they had no warrant to enter their home, which they did, as well as ensuring that they not only arrested them, but they moved them over 1,800 miles away from their home and their community. So it's been incredibly heartening to see the local community of Sackett's Harbor rally in support of this family and their students. But we're all calling for the same thing, which is the immediate release and return of this family back to New York.
So what are their rights? It's interesting. Homan has been so fierce in his rhetoric against immigrants. But now that people in his community, it sounds like he's beginning to back off.
Well, his community has been loud and clear. They are not in support of these warrantless arrests. They are not in support of family separation or child detainment. You have these three children and their mother now sitting in what is, in essence, a jail and a prison in Texas, and continuing to parrot these talking points as if they are, as if ICE and him are in the right, when we know that they're in the wrong. This family actually was going through the immigration system as they were told to, following the process and the steps that was dictated to them by the immigration court. And now, instead of waiting for their court date, they are sitting in a family detention center in Texas awaiting their fate, which is really horrendous. And again, we're calling on their immediate release and for them to be sent back to New York.
So there's a protest for Saturday at 2 planned, and the mayor of Sackett's Harbor says they're going to declare a state of emergency as they march to Homan's house.
I think that this case specifically has drawn a lot of interest and outrage from the local community as well as the surrounding areas. North Country is a beautiful part of New York State. It is hundreds of miles away from New York City, but even more so in a community of Sackett's Harbor of, 1,300 or so residents, they are all outraged. This is a farming community. And even the farmer who this action happened on his property is also outraged. And I think in this moment, what they are demanding is they want their kids to come back to them. These are their students. These are their friends. These are their neighbors. And they're incredibly, incredibly horrified that this happened to begin with. And I don't know if anyone can imagine a third grader being arrested or other kids being arrested simply because of, you know, ICE wanting to meet their quota of the day.
And there wasn't a deportation order, and they were showing up at court for their various hearings.
Yes, there was no order, there was no warrant, and they were still navigating the immigration system.
I also want to ask you about New York Mayor Eric Adams, who today is making his first mayoral campaign appearance of 2025 after a federal judge dismissed his corruption case, granting a request from the Justice Department that was widely seen as a quid pro quo in exchange for Adams implementing Trump's mass deportation agenda. But the judge, Dale Ho, dismissed the case with prejudice, meaning the charges cannot be later revived, going against the wishes of the Justice Department, which sought to leave the door open for potential future prosecution, perhaps if Adams didn't do what they wanted. The judge wrote, "Everything here smacks of a bargain, dismissal of the indictment in exchange for immigration policy concessions," unquote. Earlier today, Adams announced he plans to run for re-election as an independent instead of as a Democrat. Your assessment of what's going on here, Murat?
You know, I think this doesn't really change very much. There was obviously, as per the AUSAs who quit because they refused to dismiss these charges, that there was
when
a
you
quid
say
pro quo.
AUSAs, you mean assistant U.S. attorneys, one after another, conservative attorneys saying they did not want to drop the charges against the mayor.
Yeah, and that their case was based on facts. You know, we, as myself and my organization, had never called for his resignation because he was charged, because we believe, although he doesn't believe this for our community, but we believe every single person in this country has the right to due process, including the mayor. But what transpired here was not that. And, you know, we echo the sentiments of the judge in saying that there was a bargain struck here. And we don't know what that is. But the allusion that has been made through the assistant U.S. attorneys and their comments is that this is a deal that was cut to ensure that the mayor supports the Trump administration's mass deportation plan, which we are completely against, because that is nothing but actually horrifying for our families, negatively impacting our communities, and it will gut our local economy. So the mayor has a tough road ahead. I think that if he does try to collude with immigration enforcement against local law, we're going to fight tooth and nail and work with our partners in the New York City Council to ensure that we continue to defend and protect our communities.
Murat Awada, before we go, I wanted to ask you, as a Palestinian American, a leader in the immigration rights community, your thoughts on what happened last night. The Jewish students and the Israeli-American student at Columbia University chained themselves to the gates of Columbia, demanding to know who in the administration or on the board of trustees pointed the finger at Mahmoud Khalil, who's in prison in an immigration jail in Louisiana. A judge in New Jersey ruled his case should be held in New Jersey, dealt with in New Jersey. Not clear what's going to happen to him in Louisiana. His wife, Dr. Noor Abdullah, a dentist here in New York, is about to give birth to their first child. Your response to all that's taking place?
You know, Mahmoud Khalil has been was the first student who was detained by this administration and disappeared. Now there are several others who are in the same situation as him. Mahmoud Khalil was, as many people know, was a student at Columbia. And, you know, when I was on your show last discussing this, I mentioned that there was a forward report that mentioned that the Columbia institution actually, it seemed as if it was colluding with immigration enforcement, which is incredibly abhorrent. This is not something that any institution should be doing in working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement on wrongfully detaining and removing their student. So kudos to students continuing to protest for his release and demanding accountability in the university.
And you were referring to the Jewish newspaper, The Forward. Murad Awada, yes. Thank you so much for being with us, president of the New York Immigration Coalition. To see all our coverage of the protest, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Some politicians love to tell us that we have to choose between policies that support people or policies that grow the economy. But we don't have to choose. A strong economy isn't only about stock markets and GDP. It's about all of us being able to afford our rent, our groceries, our medication. When we all thrive, the economy thrives too. Together, we can demand better. Take action at demandbettertoday.ca.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.